You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Well, folks, it is time for another episode of Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. I'm very excited today because, you know, at Bride Ministries, we have a deep passion for setting captives free, for bringing about the will of God for healing and deliverance and deprogramming, frankly, especially for those that have been through satanic ritual abuse, government-sponsored mind control projects, and high-level cult programming. And this has been an outreach of Bride Ministries for many years. And in 2020, we trained a whole group of champions and have now onboarded many of them. In fact, 12 people from that program who graduated as volunteers with our ministry to serve and to be available to lead people through journeys of inner healing and deliverance. Now, a little while ago, you met the men. And we, of course, as most ministries go, have more women than men that have put their hands up. And I mean, one day I think that might change, but for now, we are praising God for the women. So many, in fact, that we are going to be doing two rounds to introduce you to these incredible individuals. So you'll be meeting half of the women that are now volunteer coaches with Bride Ministries. And in a future podcast, you'll meet the other half. And so, you know, as we get into this today, I am going to be very, very grateful to introduce you to Kendra, to Allie, to Dorothy, and to Esther. And we are going to be talking about their journeys. We're going to be talking about what brings them to the front of the line when it comes to, you know, standing up for survivors, standing up for the broken, standing on the front lines and saying, Satan, take my boot in your groin, because that's what they do. They are warriors for Jesus. And so, you know, we are going to begin by introducing you to Kendra. Now, Kendra has come on as a volunteer coach with us. She was also and continues to be our program coordinator here at Bride Ministries. And, you know, Kendra, you've been instrumental in so many ways, and you are just such a blessing to the ministry. But I want to let you talk a little bit about how you got involved in the program and where your heart comes from for helping survivors.
Thank you so much, Daniel. And I just want to say, as much as I have blessed you guys in the ministry itself has blessed me from day one. So thank you guys so much. And getting to be a part of this forerunner business, I love it. it's definitely another answer to my heart cry. There is just something that God put in my heart for the broken. As soon as I got a hold of that heart realm and heart peace about the depths of brokenness, the depths of defilement, I just knew that I needed to be a part of it. God really just put a love for people that have been through some of the worst things in my heart. And I love watching them create and get more involved with the intimacy of Jesus and receive their healing. And so that's a big deal to me. And how I got involved in the program, I actually looked to apply many times since you put it out. I waited for the school to develop. I was here when it was still just talked about, and then got to watch it come into fruition. And so the application, I looked at the application every day, waiting for God to tell me, this is the day, Kendra, this is the day that you can fill that application out and send it in. And I just want to say that day did not come. The last day that the application was due, God said, no, I need you to wait. And so I was just like, okay, maybe next year. So I had settled in my heart. God was going to show it to me. And we went to the advance and had a great time. And then it was just a little bit after that, that you guys reached out and offered the position to me. And of course I was like, oh God, thank you. That's what you were doing. And is history has been written since. And so that's really why I'm here and my heart for survivors. And so I'm going to stop there because I know we'll get into it.
Amen. Yeah, folks, we were trying to figure out how this whole thing would even be possible when we were organizing the program. It's like, there's no way I can do this by myself. And so, you know, we had started to go one direction and the Lord was just like, no, it's Kendra. And I'll tell you, it's been a blessing. She has just been instrumental and such a key player in the effectiveness of what's happened. So Kendra, so glad you're here. I'm so glad that you are now trained and even helping people in the little bit of spare time we leave you with.
True.
Next, folks, we're going to meet Allie. So Allie, I want to let you walk us through your initial reason for applying to the DID Coach Mentorship Program and why you wanted to help survivors.
Okay, so last year, 2019, I was asked to pray for a survivor, a trauma survivor, by a group of ladies. So we started to pray for this woman. And we were getting nowhere. Okay, so she was getting sicker and sicker, and she was in need of a lot of medical services. And so the group fell apart. The deliverance group fell apart because we didn't have the tools to help her. And so it disbanded, but I stayed with my client. And I cried out to the Lord. I prayed one day because I thought, she's going to die. If you don't do something, Lord, she's going to die. Okay, so what do you want me to do? And he tells me to go to the DID program. Okay, so my laptop was on the kitchen counter that day, and I was listening to a podcast, I think, and the mentorship application program came on. And so he told me to apply for the program immediately. So I said, now? And he said, yes. So I dried my hands and I filled out the application. Don't even remember what I put on the application. I was desperate. I found out that the lady that I was praying for was a satanic ritual abuse victim. Okay. And so Dan Duvall's ministry is one of the only ones that knows what to do with satanic ritual abuse victims. And so I needed to learn. And so I went out to Texas in January. I didn't know anything. I was fearful. I was, it was amazing. And I met the most amazing people in the mentorship group. Okay. So, I got answers. Okay. So that's what brought me to the mentorship program. God brought me Sidewinder style. I didn't even know I was coming. Okay. So, then that started my journey. And so since then it's been a year and about 9 months that I've worked with this same client, and we've gotten really a long ways, and I've learned so much through the last year. I mean, it's just amazing. So I'm very thankful and I'm committed. I love this. I love seeing breakthrough for people. I have a history of being a trauma survivor myself, not an SRA, but I have come through a lot of trauma. And so I know what it's like to be in the darkness and to ask God why you are suffering, why there's no answers, why things keep happening to you, why you're sick. So I want to come alongside Jesus and show survivors the Father heart of God for them and bring breakthrough. So I know I can do that now with all the tools I've learned in the last year. So that's why I came to the program. So
good. And folks, I just have to say this. The Allie that is talking to you today and to me is not the Allie that I met a year ago in our first meeting. You know, as we went through this program, one of the things that totally blew me away, folks, and I keep repeating this, is that we invited 14 people to participate in the program. And I, in my wildest dreams, did not imagine all 14 were going to make it. And I looked at some of their faces during that first week and I was thinking, probably not going to make it. But what God has done and the transformation that I've watched happen, for every student, but Allie, you in a big, big way has just blown me away. So folks, Allie's going to certainly be sharing more in a minute. Dorothy, we are going to come to you next. And I want to let you speak to the question, you know, what was your initial reason for joining the program and why do you want to help survivors?
First of all, my initial reason is in three steps over about 20 years. So in 1995, my daughter was born and, you know, when babies go to sleep, you do what you have to do. So I was just outside looking at the stars and the Lord dropped in my heart, children are a commodity. And at that time, the only thing I knew about trading was corn, beef, rice, that kind of thing. So I just stored it in my heart and I just, you know, went on with life. The next thing that happened was 8 to 10 years later, I heard in my heart the Lord say, this passage, this motto, this philosophy of whatever, I wanted a women's ministry. That's what I really wanted. And I didn't know how I was going to go about doing that. So he gave me this quote, empowering girls worldwide to create the life of their dreams by increasing their level of self-perception and gaining an awareness of their potential and value. Mm-hmm. Now, not having a ministry, not knowing where to start, I had no clue what to do with this either. So I stored it in my heart. Several years later, I attended a church and come upon this man. This man was 20 years older than me, so it wasn't like someone that I would be, you know, attracted to, if you will. So we would have conversations, very deep, dark conversations that made me feel extremely uncomfortable, but it was true. It was things like soldiers at the Mexico border. He knew very low people in very high places. Our conversations were not conversations the majority of people would want to have, but I was most interested in them. And one of the conversations that stood out the most was the kind of work that he did outside of, you know, being security at our church. And it was he helped women escape satanic churches. And of course, I never heard of that. And it was quite unusual. So he gave me a little background to how he got involved in that and how he protected himself. So he introduced me to spiritual warfare. It was my first time hearing of it. I've gone to several churches. Nobody ever talked about it. But when he told me that he would go to a satanic church on a Sunday morning, I guess, and be totally covered, and no one would be aware that he was in there with the Glock and he was in there to take charge, basically. So he said it was like a regular service, regular church service. There was singing, there were announcements. When they got to the offering part, it was not money, I'll put it that way. So he wanted to get up and go on a shooting rampage, but he said he felt a hand in his chest to tell him, you know, I got this. So he sat back down and finished out the service. So those three seeds brought me to where I am today. And I've always been on the fringe. So I found Mary Lou Lake and she mentioned you. And I pressed pause and I went to find you. And I've been on the podcast trail ever since. And learning that you were doing exactly what this man was doing, you know, it was a long time ago. He didn't have all the tools that you have, but it was a foundation for me. And I knew deep in my heart that this is what I wanted to do. This is what I was called to do. And if I had not joined the program, I wouldn't have been able to live with myself if I had, you know, not taken the initiative to apply. So it's been a journey, a very long journey, but I'm glad that I took it. It's very rewarding, and I'm excited to, you know, take care of the women I've been called to take care of for Jesus.
Thank you, Dorothy. Esther, we're going to come to you next, and I want you to walk us through what led you to the program and where did you develop a heart to help survivors?
For me, the process or the journey to the program started with me desiring something more, me knowing that there was something more. And that was birthed out of, since about 2013, I've specifically been working in spiritual warfare and deliverance ministry type work, healing, inner healing, et cetera. And the teachings that were out there, I have discovered since, were very lacking. I thought I was cutting edge, you know, Derek Prince and the other people who have been doing the work in the area. I studied everybody and I ate up everything. I was very hungry for an understanding of deliverance and spiritual warfare. And as I launched out and started, would you say, practicing or applying what I had learned, there were some hard cases that I would run into, and there's nothing that is breaking through. And there, from that was birthed that desire for something more. I knew there was something more. I would look in the Bible. I'm like, you know, I know King Yeshua is King Yeshua and he can do anything. You know, he's awesome. He's mighty. He's the ultimate version. And so, yes, man, mere man may not be able to do obviously what King Yeshua does, but if he has given us the charge to help people get reach salvation and to get delivered and to be healed, then surely he wouldn't want us to fall short of the mark in accomplishing the same things he did. So in my search for something more and in eating up all the materials that I could possibly find as far as spiritual warfare, one day I was on a podcast system and just Googled or just searched for spiritual warfare, and I found Dan Duvall from Bride Ministries and started just consuming all of the podcasts, which led me into following the church services and seeing weather information. And then I took the Unlocking the Mystery of Prayer course through Bride Ministry Institute. Then I took the Reality of the Kingdom of Kendra and just was gobbling up all the information. It was resonating with me, but I didn't quite know why. And it was a blind faith move because Dan on one of the church sessions was saying, hey, you know, I have this mentorship program coming along. And so I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds cool. But I didn't really respond like, I've got to sign up. I've got to be the first one out the gate. So he announced it several more Sundays. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, that sounds good. And it was coming really close to the deadline. And I'm like, not really, kind of like Kendra, not really hearing a yay or a nay, but still having some type of prompting inside. You know, I was wrestling with it. Is it me wanting to do this or is this God led? Because I didn't, at that particular moment, I didn't have the resources I felt in order to push forward. So with the last minute upon me, I went ahead and applied and just trusted. It was a blind faith move. Didn't really know what I was signing up for. I will say that, but we'll get to that a little bit later in the interview. I knew that there was, even with listening to the podcast, even with participating in the classes, I still didn't really truly know what I was signing up for until I was well entrenched. So we'll carry on that conversation a bit later.
Well, amen. And by the way, folks, Esther throughout the year also stepped up and put her hand up to volunteer with us in several ways. And for those of you that have engaged with our reframed Bride Ministries Institute, because we had to transition platforms, I will have you know that Esther was very involved in helping to pull that off. And she also leads a Bible study group at the church, which people sign up for online. And so we're very grateful for Esther. And man, well, we're going to be coming back to her in a minute. Now, I want to spend some time letting you ladies talk more about the program itself. And I mean, this was a journey for all of us. to be honest, folks, you know, it was a journey for everyone. I mean, for me, it was a journey of just trying to keep up with what I had gotten myself into. I mean, I'm like, all right, I got all these in-person trainings. I got to write all this content. I got to have materials and give these people stuff to, like, it was pretty hectic for me. And then I have to get these people to believe me, which is a whole other conversation. You know, it's one thing when I just get on a podcast to say stuff and you react all kinds of ways, listeners, listening to me, like, yeah, I don't believe you, Dan Duvall. And yeah, well, I have a few choice words to say to you because you said that, because, you know, whatever my issue is, you know, and there's a bit of a buffer there. It's like, but now I have people actually physically sitting in front of me and I have to convince them that they can use prayer templates to deliver other people from nanotechnology. And it's like, no, this really works though, guys. So it was a journey for all of us. But, you know, Kendra, of course, being my assistant in the whole thing, your journey is going to be a little bit different from the rest of the ladies, but I'm going to let you start off. And I want to let you talk about your journey through the program, some of the lessons that you learned, ideologies that changed, and the maturation that you went through in 2020.
Okay, so Daniel, I feel like I was running right alongside you. I was like, Daniel is keeping the pace and I am doing what I can to stay with him. So it was a lot of fun. And I'm just going to say it. We had fun. We had tears. We had screams. We had it all. But the biggest thing that we had was overcoming. And so, you know, right out of the gate at the very beginning, you know, we are sitting there like deer caught in a headlight. I think Allie and I spoke about that before, where even I was in shock and I was just like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? But it just kept getting better and we kept getting closer as far as a cohort and the way that you and I do things, Daniel. It just kept getting better. Communication kept getting better. Even whenever we were in the midst of the pain of one of the books, it kept getting better. We kept getting safer. And we would go after things within ourselves and help others go after things within themselves that they hadn't quite tackled yet. And it was a beautiful refining. The greatest lessons, probably time management and boundaries. And I'm at the point now where I went through so many times where I just didn't think that God could expand me even more. I'm like, you have expanded my heart. You've expanded my mind. You've expanded so many parts of me in so many ways. And then I'd turn around and he'd get ready to do it again. And I'm like, I'm not going to break, am I? I'm getting stretched in a lot of places. And he did. And I tell you, he did it with such a beautiful finesse. And I'm going to steal your word. The finesse, the mess became so true to me and many others, Daniel. So it was good. If I can have more specifics come up, I'll remember them because so much is flooding me right now. And there was just so much. But I tell you what, I loved it. And we were really running with Jesus the whole time. And like I said, sometimes it hurt and sometimes it was amazing and joyous. So.
Well, and you had to, I mean, go through, read all the books. You learned all the lessons. And at the same time, you were grading all the papers.
Yes. Yeah, I'll say that was a different dynamic to work because we're building these relationships, right? And so, but then I also had to give them grades. And sometimes, like, they got mad at me for grades. So we had to work out some of that stuff, too, and tailoring how we were grading people. And I had to even learn to kind of be like, yes, that's your grade, and know that I love you, and know it's not changing. I'm sorry. Mwah. You know, but it was good. It was good for everybody.
Well, Allie, we are going to come to you next, and I want you to tell our listeners about your journey through the program, lessons learned, ideologies that changed for you and even some of the maturation that God brought about in you in the process?
Okay, so I'm 63 years old. I've been saved for 40 years. I was trained early on, 5 years after I got saved, in Derek Prince methodology. Okay, so in Derek Prince methodology, every demon is subject to the blood of Jesus. And I remember, okay, so it was like, why is this not working? Okay, I was praying for an SRA survivor and I was like, why is this not working? And I think that's one of the questions I asked you when I came, not when I came to Texas, I think it was office hours. I was like, okay, so what are these other things then? Okay, so why is it not working? Okay, so I learned, it's like the first week in Texas was, I had to get rid of, okay, so I went through the first week, I made it through the first week, though I wanted to get on a plane and go home. Because I was like, this was like out of my grid, out of my understanding. But I stayed, I stuck it out. Okay, so then I came home and then people wanted to know, how did it go with Dan Duvall's program? And I'm like, I couldn't talk. I was like, I drove around for a couple of days in the car. And I was talking to Jesus going, okay, so you never told me about any of this other stuff. You never told me about, you know, there's other entities and there's other things that are out there. And I'm like, I'm in shock. And I go, why do I feel so nervous? Like my clothes don't fit. And he says to me in the car, cause I drove around for 2 days. He says, Allie, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. Okay. So I had to shed the mindset of what the church has. Okay. So the church doesn't know that there's other things out there. So I'm just going to put a plug in there that it's really true. There are so many things out there. There are entities, there are aliens, there are all these other realms and things. Okay. So I learned, it was like my head exploded. Okay. So, I learned about all these other things. I learned about weapons. Okay, so the biggest thing that I learned was Satan is a legalist. Okay, see, he's a legalist. Okay, so Dan's prayers in his books are legal prayers that you can cut off the enemy by using these tools that come against the enemy in a legal way, so that you can stop his abuse and his torment. Okay, so then the other thing I learned was, it was like firecrackers were going off. Okay, so then I learned that I have a realm, like it's an archy. You call it an archy. So I have an archy. So I can call up, you know, I can charge up my archy and kind of do battle with the enemy and have a sphere of influence and effectiveness by using my archy and my mountain. I'm like, I have a mountain now, and then I have trees, and then and then I have a star. I'm like, oh my god, goodness. Okay, so it's like I learned so much. It's like, okay, so now I have new clothes. Okay, so they can fit in there, but I have lots of tools now, and there's nothing better than seeing a survivor or a disassociated person come breakthrough. It's like so rewarding. It's like, okay, so the tools work. And, you know, so I just want to say that I've just changed. I've just metamorphosed into something else. So, and I'm excited to be a coach to help people to get free. And I know I can do it. And I know Holy Spirit will help me to do it. So.
So good. Thank you for sharing, Allie. Dorothy, we're going to come to you next, and I want you to talk about your journey through the program, lessons that you learned, ideologies that changed, and the maturation that God produced in you.
Okay. First of all, the first thing I learned and the most important thing was suck it up, buttercup. I never thought that would apply to what we were doing. So you trained us well, because by the time we got to our volunteers, we were prepared. We didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. And like Esther said, we learned as we went, and Kendra. But I learned that we're living life like the Truman Show. And like Allie's talking about, we don't realize all the things that are going on in this world that we live in. And when you find out, then you have to deal with that. We had a lot of moments of discombobulation. There was a lot of, disambiguity. There was a lot of challenging things that we experienced. One of the things I like was the Bride Institute, which helped me to have a better foundation of the belief that I already had. And that was, I believed in Christ already, but believing is just not enough when you don't have a foundation for what you believe. You believe because you believe, you grew up believing, you were in a family that believed, but it's not enough. So taking the courses before our program actually started was absolutely fantastic. I think everyone should take those courses. It developed me, it matured me in ways I never thought was possible. And you put it all in a nice, neat package. Because I had experienced a little of this here and a little of that there, but you wrapped it all up in a bow and made it concise, made it clear. You're a fantastic teacher. And it just flowed well. My maturity level, I'm not the same person at all. I'm way more confident. And one of the things that you would say to us all the time on Monday nights when we would have our meeting was, "Good evening, champions." My favorite. I love it. I'm like, yeah, I am more than. You give us so much encouragement that, how could we not accept this journey? How could we not push forward when we, one, had seen you do it and you didn't have 14 people with you? So there's absolutely no excuse for us to, fall behind or to turn back. We put our hands to the plow and we were moving forward because you were our example. And it has been a wonderful, wonderful journey. And I'm so grateful that all of these people graduated with me. And some of us have come alongside Bride, and we're just going to make this happen. And it's all because of you.
Well, that's very kind, Dorothy. I want to just expand this a little bit for you, because I do want you to say a few words about the journey you took with your spirit from the beginning of the program to the, present day.
Well, it was challenging. And I knew I was going to be a challenge. I just knew it. I'm like, this is not going to be fun. This is not going to be easy. I'm sure it's not going to be, as easy as other people. I came into the program not having any experience in deliverance or ministry of any sort. I was the only one that came in fresh off the street. And my spirit was just not having it. In fact, I had to be pulled to the front, the hot seat, as you call it, and be ministered to while everyone watched. That's nerve-wracking, actually. But the wonderful thing about it is I didn't have to do anything because you didn't force. And I just, just went with what I was feeling and what I was seeing and things like that. So after quite some time, finally, my spirit came from wherever she was in a cave hiding. And I felt it at the top of my head, and it tingled like electricity, and it went straight to my eyes, and I started to bawl like a baby. And my brain is thinking, but I'm not sad. How am I crying if I'm not sad? It was the most, that was a disconnect right there. And it has been a wonderful journey with my spirit ever since then. And every now and then I have to press in really hard along with Esther to get her to, come up. Let's do some work. Let's talk. let's get some things done. So it's still a journey and I'm glad I'm on it, but it was challenging.
During our first meeting, you know, Dorothy was, you know, because we do ministry amongst each. I mean, the coaches have to receive ministry from each other. They have to give ministry to each other. There's no hiding in this program. No one gets to sit in the back and just let the program happen around them. It's full engagement. And we had a bit of a no man left behind policy for the first week. So I was like, everybody's going to have their spirit at least presenting by the end of the first week. If not, we, you know, having all of the fractals up and engaging. And so, you know, it was just so fun because Dorothy had run into a bit of a wall with her time with one of the other students. And it was looking like, yeah, this isn't possible. And to see what God did for her, and as everyone watched, the confidence level in everyone, like, oh, wow, what we're going to learn is really going to work. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so we're grateful for Dorothy. And Esther, we're going to come to you again. And I want you to talk through the same thing, your journey through the program, some of the lessons you learned, ideologies that changed, and some of the maturation you received.
Well, as I had mentioned earlier, I was not really aware, even with following you and hearing the vernacular, hearing the Dan speak or the Bride Ministry speak, if you will, and that viewpoint on DID and SRA, I still didn't really grasp what I was headed into. But that speaks to the point that I came as a blank slate. So I wasn't necessarily requiring a paradigm shift. It was more of just, here's my plate that's turned up. I'm here hungry. Here's my cup turned up. I'm thirsty. You know, here are my hands turned up. You know, give to me what there is that the Father is sending through you. And I thank you. I thank you for that apostolic leadership and really being able to guide us through that process and having taken the journey all by yourself for a while before you were able to hand it over to us. But thank you so much for not keeping it to yourself and seeing that there is a need to expand. And with my not requiring a paradigm shift, but just being overwhelmed, I was in a state of overwhelm from almost the beginning because there was so much information. And my nature is to be a scholar practitioner. I believe that you take the theory or the understanding, the learnings, and then you apply it. And from that, I also am a person who really embraces test everything. I cannot read a scripture and be done. I have to read the scripture. I have to go to the concordance. I have to look up the word. I have to look up every occurrence of the word. I have to look up, you know, okay, what's the etymology of the words that make up that scripture before I can even embrace the fact that I've really studied a scripture. So if a person says, you know, what does this mean? I'm like, I'll get back to you in a couple of days because I really have to explore it out. And so taking that mentality and applying it to the learning journey, that was the same thing that happened. And there was a lot of information that was put before us in a very short period of time, very necessary information. And so as I was getting filled up, I was also testing it out with Holy Spirit alongside and making sure that it resonated in the place that it needed to continue forward. Obviously, God brought me to that place, which was confirmed in many different ways. But in him bringing me to the place of learning, that he was also taking me through the learning. And there's two things that I would say that really kind of grew me up and also have resonated the point of just me holding on to so very dearly. And the first one is having a view through the God, through his eyes, what I call the, through his eyes, the life of a DID, a survivor, or SRA survivor, a person who's in some form of severe trauma or bondage, and being able to see the world through their eyes. Now, I can't watch TV. I can't look at a person that we may put on some form of pedestal for their leadership role or their stardom, their fame, and I can't see them the way the rest of the world sees them now. The shift, that would be a shift. that occurred, where I now look at them through how more than likely a survivor would see them. I don't really listen to secular music, but when I do, or I see something that's being used, I'm immediately testing it out and saying, how is this affecting the people that I'm now being called to help serve and to help get them find their freedom? And so that was all the learning piled on top of each other. It's really given me a way to view. The other thing is, and Dorothy had alluded to that, is definitely human spirit work. That was the game changer for me. And I'll talk more about that probably with the last question, but the game changer for me was to understand we have a human spirit. The human spirit is alive and has much to say and should be at the forefront in our lives. And all of the kingdom resources that we have, as Ali had indicated, you know, the mountain, the tree, the stars, the Arche, and being able to explore it and equip it and build it up in order to do specifically, in my case, in our cases, spiritual warfare work, and really walking through that. And that is probably the one thing that I am most excited about doing, is helping people be able to really find their spirit, get their spirit up and functioning, all of their fractals, all of the kingdom resources, which we're still unfolding and learning about. Come here, Pillar, you know, come here, some other things that you're teaching currently and that we're just continuously learning. But those would be the two things that I think that I take away the most, is their paradigm, how it affects those in which I serve, and then also human spirit work.
Thank you, Esther. So guys, I mean, this brings us to the final part of the conversation, which is, you know, the aspect of ongoing work. I mean, it's one thing to go through a program, to learn something and to say, you know, I'm happy with what I learned. The amount of Christians that have been to a equipping conference for something, or even an equipping program, maybe a 12-week program or something like that, to learn some new knowledge and area. And then once they finish it, they don't use it, or they don't make any changes to their life. It's a huge thing, right? That's probably the majority of what happens in the Christian sphere with conferences and information. We go, we get it. We're like, wow, that was fun. And then we go on with our lives and really not much changes. But you guys have gone through this program, and all of you have said, I'm going to continue on to work with survivors, to work with believers that need inner healing, to work with believers that need deliverance, because you guys, right? And that's what I want the Bride Ministries community to know. Our graduates can minister to anyone on the spectrum, from believers that just need some basic deliverance and inner healing, all the way up and into highly programmed individuals. They're trained to do the whole gamut. But this is something that you are going to make a focus in your life. So why did you continue through the program and then into this sphere where you are now going to be volunteering with us? You're going to be, you know, placed on the platform and making yourself available to others that need help. And Kendra, we'll just begin with you.
Okay, so I actually want to make mention, before we started the 2020 program and as I was engaging with more volunteering, Daniel, that's whenever I began to do a survivor support group. And I remember those first couple of months was a struggle. It not because of creating the group space. You know, I'd had the counseling background. I'd studied counseling and graduated it from a secular institution. I had the experience of the moderated classes. I'd gotten really good at that. And it wasn't that we couldn't produce a group atmosphere. It was the issues, dealing with the issues, knowing that not only are there different parts and even rogue parts trying to disrupt the session, what to even do with them. You know, I still wasn't fully understanding everything that I was working with yet, even in those days. And to talk about that and to see, you know, some of the maturation that I didn't mention before, is I personally started getting better at leading the groups. I personally started getting better at seeing some of the things of what we were dealing with what some of the disruptions were, how to even pray before we ever even got to group of this is what we're going to do, Jesus, this is what we're going to take care of. And we would have, you know, we would have the fruit in the groups. And then even the relationships that I've developed within Bride since I've been here, and even I could pray with people all day long, even just as a personal friend. You know, we're friends walking in Bride's ministries. We've been doing this thing. We know the prayers. We both have the prayer books, and that would only take us so far, you know, but now just have the extra little tidbits of, okay, that's the voice of pain. Let's go chase down the pain and see who that belongs to. Those skills really got refined, and I can see it's not just in the sessions. It's not just in the groups. I'm even better in the moderated classes now too. I'm better with my husband. I'm better with my kids. I'm better with the teacher that drives me crazy at the school. I'm just better all around, and I'm so thankful. And I truly want to see people grow in intimacy with Jesus. I really want to see them have breakthrough and get to hear the word of God and get to hear his voice and get to experience other spiritual giftings. That assignment-based living, I'm telling you, that changed my life back in 2014. And I want it to change other people's life. And I really want to see the expansion of the kingdom. And I truly understand that we're going to see it. The more survivors that get set free, the more brokenheartedness that we see Jesus bind up, we are going to see the expansion of the kingdom. And that's my jam. That's where I'm at. So if we're doing that, you're going to see me there.
So good. Allie, I'm going to let you speak to the same thing. You know, why have you continued through the graduation and decided to make yourself available as a volunteer with the ministry and available to others to be a coach, to be an inner healing and deliverance minister?
I stayed with the program. I got results for my client, who I am still working with. And I see that it works. I didn't actually start the program wanting to be a coach. Okay, so that didn't come about until the volunteers, I started praying for the volunteers, because I wanted to see whether it really worked, okay, on people that I didn't know, that I'd never met before. And so I learned that the Holy Spirit will help you. He will come alongside you, and he will make a way where there is no way. Okay, so I got addicted to the breakthrough that some of the people I prayed for got. And it was amazing. And so I've come to the understanding that there's a lot of survivors out there. There's a lot of people hurting. There's a lot of disassociated people. There's a lot of people in darkness, and they need, it's the harvest is plenty, but the volunteers are few. Okay. And there's more coming. And so it's like, I didn't know I was going to be a volunteer until I started praying for the survivors towards the last half end of the program. So the Lord told me that he was going to be with me, and that survivors and trauma victims deserve dignity, honor, mercy, and love. Okay. And so I want to be a part of letting churches know that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my heart is for survivors, for any way I can help. And I'm just excited. I'm excited. It's going to be great.
That's so good. And folks, you know, the whole thing about this program is that it is designed to be very experiential. And my wife helped me to frame that. And so even when we're in our week-long trainings, the teaching is interactive. It's not just look at this slideshow and now time for another PowerPoint and so on and so forth. It's very interactive and a lot of live ministry demonstration. And so in the second half of the program, people that have signed up for ministry with us and filled out applications, anyone can go to our website, bridemovement.com, and apply to receive coaching from the ministry. We're here to help those that do not have means to get ministry otherwise. That's been a major outreach of our ministry and church since 2015. Well, folks that were on that list waiting for help, they came on board to receive ministry from our students. And it was so rewarding to watch, you know, the progression, both for the students and those volunteering to receive ministry from them. And the testimonies just got better and better and better as the program went on from everyone. And, you know, to watch a developing student come in and say, you know, I don't think I'm going to, like Allie, do this for anyone but the person that God has brought into my life. And then like turn around and I'm like, well, how did Allie minister to you? Oh, it was off the charts. It was so amazing. She was seeing, she called out this, we got a huge breakthrough, prayed this prayer. I've never felt more secure in a ministry session in my life. I'm like, wow. Well, thank you for that. You know, unsolicited testimonies, like, you know, because I'm just looking for feedback, honest feedback. And the kind of honest feedback that we got as the program went on just was so overwhelmingly positive. I just had to say, thank you, Jesus. So we're very excited. Dorothy, we're going to come to you next. Why have you continued to graduate the program and to make coaching an outreach of your life?
First of all, I did not want to start a business. I was not trying to do the business plan. I wasn't trying to build a brand or anything like that. So I thought to myself, well, you've already invented the wheel. Why redo it? For one, that's one thing. The other thing is I did not want to take my focus off of my original calling. I did not want to do business. I wanted to do ministry. So that was my main focus right there. I didn't have time to waste. These people have been waiting a long, long time and they need me now. Since my certification is in DID, I didn't think it would be feasible nor wise to go start something on my own or even with someone else when Bride has created a platform that we could all focus mainly on people that were DID/SRA. And that would be really difficult to find because nobody knows their DID. Nobody knows their SRA. So if I'm with Bride on this platform, we know who we're dealing with here. There is no doubt about it. So I don't have to rely on, you know, referrals, relatives, or anything like that. Bride is the main platform that I want to be involved with. And it will be conducive for me and the survivors to just have one place to go. I mean, if we could just, you know, tighten up everybody around this one thing, then everybody would have, you know, the same information. Everybody would have the same. I mean, there would be more camaraderie. And I remember you telling us that community helps a person recover a lot quicker. So if I'm over here by myself, so is my client. So this is also a community-based program that not only us that completed the program, but also our clients. We're all meeting in one place, which is great. Brad has already built a reputable success story. Therefore, anybody else out there doing things, I know a lot of people are doing deliverance ministries and stuff like that. However, Bride Ministries is cutting edge. It's advanced. It's technology. Why would anybody go anywhere else? I feel silly.
Yeah. man. Yeah. And folks, you know, what Dorothy brings up, I just have to make a comment on this. You know, goodness. Community is so important to healing journeys. And really, honestly, it's important to coaches. And I know that for years, you know, we tried to assemble community of people that were doing ministry for folks in their own lanes and arrange for meetings. And, you know, attempting to do that was less successful than I had hoped. And there were folks that certainly journeyed with us and that they're amazing. And we were grateful for that. But it was much harder to build camaraderie amongst people that were all in their own lanes, because people that are in their own lanes are like me, very busy, time being pulled in many directions. It's hard to just make time for community that, you know, is nuanced. And so I knew that if we were ever going to build a true family of ministers, it would have to be something that was birthed through the church, through the family of bride ministries within our community. And what we are seeing is exactly that. The camaraderie between our graduates is humongous. You guys actually like each other. You call each other and hang out. I don't even have to make it a homework assignment anymore. It's amazing. And so we're building a family of supporting, helping persons. And in that, we are able to expand our outreach, and we will be expanding our outreach for community availability for survivors that are connecting to our ministry and connecting to our coaches. You know, we have some support groups, and we have parameters on our support groups at this ministry. You can't just sign up. There are parameters around how we govern those survivor groups, but we're going to be able to expand that a lot. Why? Because we have more helpers. We have more qualified individuals that are coming alongside of us. And so we are literally building an ecosystem of healing and deliverance. And I'm so happy. So with that said, we're going to come to Esther. And Esther, you made it through the program. You graduated. You have come on board with us as a volunteer. You're going to make working with survivors a major focus of your life. Why?
In a scripture, it would be Esther 4:14. In paraphrased, you know, she was, Esther in the Bible, was appointed to help bring a group of people to freedom. And she was challenged, and it was said to her, it was like, who knows if you were not brought to this royal position for such a time as this. And also in that scripture, what is less quoted is, and if you don't do it, someone else is, because my people are going to get free. And to understand, it is not missed on me that my name is Esther at all. And I don't miss that fact at all. It's also not missed on me that she was a queen. And this is going to sound a little odd, but I have been involved in pageantry since eighth grade. And it was a resource or an avenue for me to get involved in it to combat some self-esteem, what I call self-esteem monsters. That's not the term I had for it at the time. And self-esteem monsters, probably the best way that we can find it in the Bible is to hop on over to Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against all those SEMs, which I call self-esteem monsters, right? Different ways that things come in and intrude in our life. And since the early 90s in participating in pageantry, my perpetual platform, which is kind of like that thing that you advocate for as a pageant contestant, well, it for me has been self-esteem, advocacy, and people really truly understanding, or what I call Boodaloo, be you, do you love you, which was all about self-awareness, self-confidence, and self-love. And I say that it's very difficult for us to get to the point of understanding the fingerprint that we put on the world if we don't have our self-esteem intact and strong. As God has walked me through the journey of understanding that, he has transformed me. He has taken me through a Romans 12:2 journey, if you will, and he has transformed from a worldly view of self-esteem to an identity in Yeshua, viewpoint. And so my platform has also gone through that transformation. And it hit me today in thinking about how I would respond to this question that truly my journey since I was in eighth grade until now, hashtag this is 50, almost 51, so it's been a minute, but through my journey through pageantry, through my platform, and now through ministry, this is what I have been destined to do. This is what he has on my destiny scrolls, is to help others reach their freedom, just like my namesake did in the Bible, and to truly help them find their freedom and their identity in King Yeshua, and so that they can put and they can find ultimately their purpose or their destiny scroll. And why would I stop now? The question was asked of me is like, you know, why are you continuing on? Well, I'm continuing on because this is my call on my life. This is a God-ordained moment in my life. And I take it very seriously. And I have been trained for a very long time through various experiences in life to be here for such a time as this. And I thank you. I thank you so much for grounding out such a major component of what needed to be in place for such a time as this.
Well, thank you, Esther. It's very kind. Folks, as you can see, we have some real champions on board with us. And again, as we are developing, you know, this ministry platform, we are making everything central to bridemovement.com. And if you go to the ministry page, you'll find a link to our coaches page, or you could just go straight to coach.bridemovement.com. That's where you will find profiles for all of our coaches. Now, if you're wondering, how can I get ministry from one of these amazing people? There are two avenues, right? Avenue one is that through the ministry, we accept applications. And you, if you have no means financially to get help, can apply for what we have, which are 16-hour basically scholarships. And so we will grant you 16 hours with one of our volunteers. And they will work with you to bring inner healing, to bring deliverance, to coach you through the programming and break it in the name of Jesus. And as you apply, that also makes us aware that you're around to receive ministry. So you may hear from us to participate and receive from our students in training, because we have another class of champions going forward right now. We're going to be needing volunteers for their practice and ministries starting in the summer. And so you can apply at our ministry page, bridemovement.com, just at the ministry page, and say, you know, I want to apply for coaching. And the other option that you have is to just book directly with our coaches, because they all operate independent coaching practices. So they all have their own rates and fees. And when you look through their profiles at coach.bridemovement.com, you'll also be able to just go ahead and book directly with them if that's something that you want to do. And so we've made that available for your convenience. And we are just excited, because we believe that what's going to be birthed out of all of this is a massive ecosystem of healing, deliverance, encounter, activation. And I said this at the church, but I'm going to say it here on the podcast as well. Bride Ministries is going to become an engine of activation for the body of Christ. We're not just here to help people feel better because they've been through a lot of trauma. We're here to unlock the bride. And a lot of the things that we've learned working with survivors, which includes a whole lot of technology around unlocking the spirit, is for everyone in the body of Christ to step into that next level. And so all of our coaches are well capable of ministering on that level. So anyway, with that said, folks, bridemovement.com, coach.bridemovement.com. That's where you can get more. And we will be having one more of these podcasts to introduce you to the rest of the women. And so with that said, until next time, God bless and Godspeed. You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. This podcast is a production of Bride Ministries International. Visit our website at brideministriesinternational.com to enjoy the Bride Ministries Church, the Bride Ministries Institute, free resources, and to support us financially.